Hello, everybody. We be live. How's everyone? I see the live chat is full. People saying hello. Hello. Hi. Keep telling me that you're watching so I can see how full the live chat is. And also, please like the stream right now. Tell me if the audio is okay. I see people are here. I see Soho is here. Hello. Hello, everyone. Okay, great. Everything looks fine. Guys, make sure you hit the bell notification and not just the subscribe button. So you could, if you're watching this later, it's more fun if you're here live and you're discussing this with the live chat. And I can see the live chat when you guys are here. It's more fun to watch this live. So make sure you hit the bell notification. But also make sure you hit the like button because that will make more people come and watch this show. So I have this video from this channel. And again, this guy's name, for some reason, I can never say his name because I just think whenever I think of this guy, for some reason, I think CJ Watermelon. For some reason, I cannot. Let me just let him introduce himself. I can't. I don't know why I can't say his name. The only thing that comes to my mind every time he says his name is Watermelon. Again, I'm not making fun of him. I'm just telling you that this is what comes to my mind.
Hello, I'm CJ Wermelon.
CJ Wermelon? Wermelon? Wermelon.
Please don't forget to subscribe to our show. Now let's get into it. Palestinians have been betrayed by the United Nations, Western governments, Arab regimes, and now the International Court of Justice.
Oh, the International Court of Justice has betrayed the Palestinians. Okay, this is an admission that the thing that they thought that will happen did not happen. Right, so it seems like it's not that easy to prove that there's a genocide is happening unless you put cameras in your chest and you record it while also having in your charter that you're trying to commit genocide. If you don't do that, either you're not committing genocide or you're just saying that somebody's committing genocide without actually having the evidence that they are doing that, right? So seemed like when it comes to international law and international justice, you actually need to present evidence for your claims. You know, there's this thing called evidence. And when you don't have that, you're not going to be accused. I mean, you are going to be accused. You're not going to be proved. It's not going to be proved that you're committing genocide. That's not how it works. All right. So, yeah. So international law for the win. Thank you very much. This is why I was welcoming this whole case being taken to international court, because a lot of people thought that this is just like, oh yeah, of course Israel is committing genocide. And then we saw when he applied international norms and standards, things are a lot more complicated than what you think, right? So I'm appreciative. I really appreciate all these Muslims and all these anti-Semitic, Westerners showing to us how disappointed they are from the ICJ's results. By the way, I see somebody in the live chat saying, hello, good people of the Republic. I really like this way of addressing the live chat. Good people of the Republic. Thank you so much. I cannot pronounce your name. And then says, man, what a headline. As an Israeli, I can't wait. Well, okay, then let's get into it.
Which failed in its duty to order an immediate ceasefire in Gaza last Friday.
Why would the International Criminal Justice Court order an immediate ceasefire? Okay, that would mean, you know what's happening here? You know why didn't they did not order a ceasefire? Because international law, unlike you anti-Semites, recognize, repeat after me, Israel's right to defend itself. Say it with me so you get used to it. Say it with me. Repeat after me. I know you guys hate it when we say that, but it's true. It's true. They have that right. That's how it works. That's how international law works. Okay. I know you hate that, but that's how it is.
But there's one thing that will never fail the Palestinian resistance, and that's the religion of Islam. Now stay.
Amazing. Amazing. You know, these freaking Western wokey types, Wokistanis, are now just like full on celebrating Islam without even being Muslim. They're like, oh my God, we love Islam. Like they used they used to not be so transparent about the celebration of Islam. But he's like, oh yeah, you know what doesn't fail the Palestinian people? The great religion of Islam. Okay. Like, you're not even a Muslim. What is happening? Oh my God. Praise be Allah. Say praise be Allah after that as well. Come on.
In Gaza last Friday. But there's one thing that will never fail the Palestinian resistance, and that's the religion of Islam. Now,
oh my God. Praise. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. So say something. Say something like that. What the hell is wrong with you? Like, these people are sucking Islamic cock. Oh my, wait, are we monetized? Are we still monetized? I should be careful. Okay, we're still monetized. Yeah, oh God. Guys, this is an Australian dude who is not even converted to Islam. I don't know what the hell is wrong with this guy.
Stay with me here, because things are about to get wild. You see, to understand an oppressor's weakness, you first need to identify and understand his greatest fear. And for Israel, a white settler colonial state located in the heart of the Muslim world, its greatest fear is demographics.
Oh, okay. Its greatest fear should be demographics because of the growth of the ultra-Orthodox Jewish people, right? Let me actually see. Haaretz, Israel's ticking time bomb. Okay. So I will bring that up. But yeah, it's not because of rising number of Muslims. I mean, even if number of Muslims are increasing in, you know, the world, it's because of how many children they have. People are not converting to Islam more than people leaving Islam. So I don't know what you're talking about. Like, it is true that Israel is facing a major demographic threat, but that's because ultra-Orthodox Jewish people in Israel are having way, way more children than the secular Jewish people. That is not the main threat. Is not from the rising number of Muslims within Israel. The main threat is because of the rising number of hardcore religious people. Okay, this is behind the paywall. That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, so this is behind the paywall. I can't read this. Fine. Let me actually take a screenshot of this, and then maybe I could look this up using a different method that I'm not going to say because it might not be okay. All right. Let's continue with this video.
Located in the heart of the Muslim world, its greatest fear is demographics. In other words, yeah. Israel fears Muslims or Arabs will change the country's demographics in a way that it can no longer plausibly claim to be a Jewish state, which is why Israel so brazenly violates international law by refusing 6 million Palestinian refugees their lawfully protected right.
Let's go back to that claim. So actually right now with the issue we're having with Israel, so if Israel is not going to be a Jewish state, it's not because people are converting to Islam, okay? It's because if we go with a one-state solution, there are already more, you know, Muslims between the river and the sea, and if you want to give them all citizenship, a lot of them have problematic views that will challenge the secular nature of Israel. Israel, when it comes to Israel being a Jewish state, I mean, Israel is strong because it's a secular state, not because it's a Jewish state. And as a secular, a liberal state, it provides protection for a minority, which are Jewish people around the world, because they are facing, you know, threats, because there's a lot of anti-Semitic views all around the world, right? That does not make Israel, in my mind, a Jewish state. Israel is not a Jewish state. Israel is a state for all its citizens, whether they're Jews or Arab or anything else. Every single Israeli citizen can consider Israel to be their home and their country. And that what makes Israel strong is the secular nature of it. And what threatens Israel is a lot of far-right Jewish people coming to power, and also the changing demographic going towards more, you know, ultra-Orthodox, and making Israeli more Jewish, you know, religious-wise, within the government. That's the threat. So the threat is not that Israel's Jewish nature is in, you know, is being threatened. The threat is actually opposite. The threat is that Israel's secular nature is being threatened, right? And also, if Israel is so afraid of its Muslim demographic, I mean, the best place to be a Muslim in the Middle East is Israel. The best place to be an Arab in the Middle East is Israel. And the reason why it's the best place to be an Arab or a Muslim in the Middle East is in Israel is because Israel is secular. So if you are afraid, if Israel is afraid of its demographic changing, I think the main people need to be afraid of Israel's demographic changing are the Muslims and Arabs living in Israel. Because the change in demographic, this is not something Muslims should be celebrating. This is something that Muslims should try to be avoiding. One of the main beneficiaries of Israel being secular are the Arabs and Muslims living in Israel. If that gets challenged, if Israel is no longer secular, they are going to be the number one victim of it if Israel becomes more Jewish. And, you know, and again, this is for Israel to provide citizenship to Jewish people around the world. That, to me, that does not make Israel a Jewish state. All other liberal states do provide, you know, it can provide, it's not against their liberalism or secularism for them to provide amnesty and protection to a member of a community that is facing threats, you know, around the world globally, right? So, for example, if you decide that this demographic, you know, globally is facing threats and hostility, and you provide a fast pass for them to become, you know, either residents or citizens or immigrants or whatever in your country, that is not in contradiction with liberalism or secularism. The only way that you could say Israel is a Jewish state is that if you have laws within Israel that favors Jewish citizens over non-Jewish citizens, and you don't have that law. You don't have that law in Israel. You don't. If anything, you have laws that favors the Arab population. Because we have laws in Israel that the only law that I could think of in Israel that separates Jewish people with Arab people is the law that says Jews have to serve in the military, except the ultra-Orthodox ones, and Arabs don't. So the only law that divides them, the only one that separates them, is a law that favors the Arabs. So how is Israel a Jewish state? Explain to me, how is Israel a Jewish state? Israel is a secular state. Israel providing citizenship to Jews around the world does not make it a Jewish state. It's just a recognition of Jews being threatened and the hostility they face all around the world. As in a liberal state, it is completely within its rights to provide protection for them, and that does not challenge its secularism. Right. So let me actually go listen to this claim here again.
Its greatest fear is demographics. In other words, Israel fears Muslims or Arabs will change the country's demographics in a way that it can no longer plausibly claim to be a Jewish state.
So here's another thing, okay? When it says Israel fears its Muslims and its Arab population, who are you talking about? Israel is a country of many, many different people, right? And yes, we have many far-right people within Israel that are racist. Hey, guess what? Every country has its fair share of racists. Show me countries that don't have racists. Okay, but Israel is also a country full of secular people, full of liberal people, who are proud of the fact that Arabs feel safe in Israel and are proud to be Israelis. And are proud of the fact that Israel makes their country better for Arabs and Muslims to live in than any other Arab and Muslim country. That's something that they brag about. That's something that they're proud of. Israel also includes Arab Israelis that are proud of their country. It's also, why are you speaking of Israel as if it's just one thing? Like, oh, Israel fears its changing demographics. Oh, really? Including the Arab Israelis? Including the one-fifth Arab Israelis? They're like, oh my God, Arab Israelis are thinking like, oh my God, I hope this country does not have more Arabs. Do you know that they are also part of Israel? Do you know they're also Israelis? Look at this racist. You are dismissing Arabs. You're acting like Israelis in general are racist against Arabs while denying the existence of Arab Israelis. Who is being the racist here, sir? Who is being the racist here? Israel, who values its Arab citizens? The Israelis who value the Arab citizens? Or you who just completely dismisses their existence? Am I missing something here? Like, oh, Israel is afraid of its growing Arab population. You are completely ignoring the views of all the Arab Israelis, which are part of Israel, and all the secular Jews who are proud of the secular nature of their country, which includes the Arabs and Muslims who live there, who could practice their religion in freedom, unlike many other Muslims in Muslim countries, who have to abide by very strict standards on how they practice their Islamic religion. Like, I mean, go look in Saudi Arabia, go look in Iran, go look in Pakistan. See where it is, where would you prefer to be as a practicing Muslim or a non-practicing Arab or a secular Arab? Okay.
To be a Jewish state, which is why Israel so brazenly violates international law by refusing 6 million Palestinian refugees their lawfully protected right to return to their homes and land in occupied Palestine.
That's not international law. International law doesn't say that they can return. What are you talking about? The international law that you want to talk about the violation should be the settlements in the West Bank, right? These Muslims that you're talking about, these Arabs that you're talking about returning, they're not going to be returning. They were never there. You're talking about the children and grandchildren. Do you know how insane that is for you to request that? Do you know how insane that is, the right to return? These are people, most of a huge number of these people are people who are born after they left. And again, they left because of the attack of Arab countries on Israel. Israel, when Israel was founded as a nation, it was completely willing to have these people as its citizens. They left, they had to leave because Arab countries attacked Israel after Israel became a country on the very first day. The war made them leave. And now they had so many children. These are people, especially a huge demographic of people who were born outside of Israel, who are not returning to Israel because they were never in Israel. And they also want to, many of them, a huge portion of them, again, I don't know if there is percentages there, if we have statistics there, but there's a huge number of them, I would say probably a majority of them, would like to dismantle Israel as a nation state. So what do you want to do? You want to bring back people who legally, with international law, they have no right to return. What are you talking about? The right to return? What international law are you citing? I've looked into this. There's no international law that tells you people who have been born in some other country because of their parents having been in Israel before a war that the Arab country started, now these people who are from somewhere else have the legal right to citizenship in a country that they haven't even been born in. Where are you getting this international law from? You're just making up stuff. And if they return and they have full voting rights as every citizen should be having, basically that would be the end of Israel. It wouldn't be at the end of Israel as a Jewish state because it's not a Jewish state, it's a secular state. It would be the end of Israel completely. That would be the end of Israel. What would happen? Again, I ask you this, what would happen to Jewish people After October 7th, you saw what happened when that border, when that wall came down just a little bit. You just saw what happened to Israelis, right? Given what happened in October 7th, tell me, what do you think will happen to Jews in Israel? And not just Jews in Israel, Israelis in general, including the Arab ones. What do you think will happen to them if Israel stops being Israel? If Israel is not a nation state anymore? What do you think will happen? Do you want to try? Do you not see why you can't have all these people coming back to Israel? Coming back in quotations to Israel? Anyways. Oh yeah, D is asking a good question. Can the Jews return to Arab states that expelled them? This only works. By the way, speaking of apartheid, Look what happened to Arabs in Israel. They have the best lives compared to Arabs in Arab countries. They have the most amount of rights, the most amount of freedoms, and the most amount of security, and the most amount of well-being and prosperity. Right? The Arabs that stayed in Israel. You know, the Arabs that left Israel, they left because the Arab countries attacked Israel. The Arab countries drove them away. It wasn't Israel that drove them away. It was the Arab countries drove them away, right? But many, many Arabs left. Many Arabs stayed. And they're growing. And they're happy because of it. It's good to be Israeli. It's good to be Israeli. But what happened to the Jews in the Arab countries? Were they not expelled? We have 20% of Israel is Arab. What percentage of these Arab countries or these Muslim countries are Jewish? There were Jews there. There were plenty of Jews there. What happened to them? Who drove them away? You want to look for apartheid? Look at the state of Jewish people in Arab countries and in Muslim countries, the few of them that are left. Do the Jews get to come back there? If Jews go back to, I don't know, let's say Yemen or Iran or Syria, what level of safety are they going to enjoy? Okay? Can you provide safety and security and prosperity for them if they come back from Israel? Will Jews feel safe leaving Israel, going back to Syria or Yemen? You guys are such hypocrites. I don't know what to tell you. Oh, we got super chat. Oh, guys, let me actually see if we're still monetized. Yeah, are we monetized? Yeah, we're still monetized. Okay, good. Karan is saying, Armin, been an admirer of yours since 2014. Atheist from a formerly Hindu background here. Well, thank you so much, Karan. I appreciate having you here. And then we have, who is this? Sapir Ubu saying, thank you so much for the 6 shekels, saying, this is the frustration I felt my entire life. Yes. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you. I will express your frustration for you. And then Sapir Ubu is saying, my family cannot return to Yemen. There you go. 6 shekels from Israel. See, Israel, they say Israel is a Jewish state. Never mind. I'm not going
to
say
it. Protected right to return to their homes and land in occupied Palestine. So now that you know this, I want to bring to your attention just 2 words that stood out for me in this November 18 article. An article that gained a lot of attention because it explains why so many left-leaning Western women have converted to Islam since Israel's genocide in Gaza began nearly 4 months ago. But the 2 words that were largely overlooked.
Okay, so we're talking, so let me read the title of the video that CJ Watermelon has. Israeli Jews converting to Islam in record numbers since October 7th, okay? So first, now he's talking about Western women converting to Islam. And again, the Western woman converting to Islam is very interesting. But remember, if Islam is growing, it's not because of conversion. Right. If you look at the stats, people are converting to Islam, but people are also leaving Islam. You know, Muslims in the Western world, a huge number of them are leaving Islam. And it seems like they kind of cancel each other out. Like, yeah, people are converting to Islam and many Muslims are leaving Islam entirely. Right. And many more who stay Muslim are taking Islam less seriously. The reason why Islam is growing is not the conversion. The reason is because they have more babies. And they have more babies. They have a lot of more children. That's the reason. So don't think like people are finding Islam compelling as much as you think. That's not what is changing things, okay? Yes.
4 months ago. But the 2 words that were largely overlooked by many commentators were the words Jewish revert, which became one of the most popular hashtags on TikTok, one that has now attracted...
Yeah, Jewish revert. You act like this is something strange. Do you know how many people are in the world? Do you know the surprising thing would be that nobody was going from Judaism to Islam, given the number of people in the world? Do you have any stats about how much this is happening? Because I'm surprised that you're surprised that there is such a thing. We have every change in behavior or belief that you could think of, okay? People are leaving Islam for Christianity. People are leaving Christianity for atheism. People are leaving atheism for Christianity, for atheism to Islam, Islam to Hinduism, Hinduism to Islam, Hinduism to atheism, Judaism to atheism, Judaism to Jainism, Buddhism to Jainism, Jainism to Satanism, Buddhism to atheism. If you can think of it, there is examples of it. Okay, so it's not very interesting or impressive to you, like, oh my God, people are leaving from Judaism to Islam. Well, I'm pretty sure people are also leaving from Islam to Judaism, but more Islam to no religion at all and Judaism to no religion at all. I was in Israel and I went to Palestine as well. Guess what? I met a lot of Jewish people in Israel who are leaving Judaism, who are atheists. I also met a lot of Arabs in Israel who left Christianity for atheism and who had left Islam for atheism within Israel. There is a lot of their people there. I met them personally. I don't know what the stats are, but I met a lot of them that left them. I went to Palestine. I went to Ramallah. Okay. I met a lot of atheists in Palestine, Palestinians who had left Islam for atheism. I met an atheist hijabi, my tour guide in Palestine was an atheist hijabi, and she was hijabi because of her family. So again, what should I say? Given that when I went to Palestine, I met many atheists everywhere I went, I would met atheists in Palestine, right? What should I conclude? Should I be as dishonest as you and come like, oh my God, mass numbers of Palestinians are now leaving Islam? No, those weren't the people I met. I don't have any stats. I don't know. I don't know what the number is. Okay. I just know worldwide, there seems to be a lot of people leaving Islam and also a lot of people converting to Islam. In the United States, for example, these two numbers seem to be canceling each other out. But if Islam is growing, it's in Western countries, mainly it's because of migration and also because of, you know, higher number of children. But people are leaving religion in mass as well. So what is it? Oh, it became a hashtag. It became trending. You know why it became trending? It became a hashtag because you guys are obsessed with it. You guys make a big deal out of it. You know, and you guys are, you know, good at making things bigger than they seem. You guys are good at that. But do you have the stats? I'm getting maybe this is happening and maybe many Jews are leaving Judaism for Islam. But do you have any evidence for this? Do you have any stats on how big of a number this is? Or do you just have a hashtag? Oh, we got a super chat from Israel. 15 shekels. Shelly's 369 is saying, I'm here in Israel. I can safely say Jews are staying Jews and Muslims are staying Muslims in Israel. Well, I don't know. Maybe you're right. But I just don't think that personal experiences, it's a good way of measuring things. You know, I think we need scientifically collected data and scientifically analyzed data. We need research, not personal experiences. Personal experiences are not a reliable form of coming up with conclusions, right? Even if it's in your own backyard, especially if it's in your own backwards. When you are people like, here's the thing. If I say, hey, I'm Iranian, trust me when I say this to you about Iran. If I ever say that to you, you're like, shut the hell up, Armin. What has you being Iranian got to do with anything? Okay? In fact, given that you're Iranian, I'm now more concerned about your views because you're obviously going to have your own bias and agenda. Okay? If I'm an Iranian, I'm obviously going to have more passionate beliefs about Iranian politics than an outsider. So you can trust me because I'm Iranian. You have to trust me because I will give you evidence for my claims, not because I'm from Iran, not because I grew up there. You know, that actually should make you more skeptical about my views about Iran. Shouldn't make you more trusting, right? Again, I need to provide evidence. Look for evidence. Anyways, let's see what the guy is saying. Maybe he will provide us evidence.
Hundreds of thousands of posts. For me, this is the most remarkable and uplifting story of this conflict because it's one that has gone almost totally unreported until now. You see, the...
Okay, it's uplifting. It's very uplifting for you because it has gone unreported. So if it was reported, it would be less uplifting. I mean, are you listening to what he's saying? I don't understand what he's saying. He's like, this is a very uplifting story for me. I was like, why? Because it has been unreported. So you would have been disappointed if this story was being getting wide coverage. Am I missing something here?
One that has now attracted hundreds of thousands of posts. For me, this is the most remarkable and uplifting story of this conflict because it's one that has gone almost totally unreported until now.
Okay, maybe it's uplifting for him because he's the one that is, you know, because now it's getting covered.
You see, okay. The conversion of Israeli Jews to Islam is the sum total of Israel's worst nightmares because converts not only threaten demographic change, but also become...
Again, Israel is not one thing, okay? There are many different Israelis, okay? And some of them would, this would be an... Israelis who understand what's good for Israel, the main thing that is changing in Israel demographically that they should be concerned about is the fact that secular people are not having children and the ultra-Orthodox Jewish people in Israel are having 6 to 7 children. That is the change in demographic that you need to worry about, okay? That is what you need to be worried about.
Outspoken.
Yeah. So, and again, Arabs, you know, many Arabs and Muslims in Israel are happy and proud to be Israeli, and they know what's best for them, and that's why they would support Israel.
Because converts not only threaten demographic change, but also become outspoken critics of Israel's genocidal strategies in occupied Palestine, and critics of the way in which the Zionist state has corrupted Judaism.
When I became Muslim.
Oh, yeah, anecdotal evidence. This is obviously the best form of evidence, okay? Show me examples, and I will be convinced that there's a huge trend. Again, even if what he's saying is true, he's not providing evidence. He's just giving me anecdotal evidence of crazy people. I could find you... I have more examples. He's going to show me Jews that convert to Islam who are critical of Israel. I can show you, if this is the game that we're playing, I can show you more examples of Arabs and Muslims that are Israeli that are right now after October 7th who are defending Israel. If what you're showing me is evidence of what you're saying, then what I will show you as an anecdotal evidence will be proof that I'm correct. But we can't both be correct. So neither of these are considered evidence. This is why we call them anecdotal, because they don't prove anything. Anyway, let's see what this guy's saying.
When I became Muslim, I was told by somebody that I had turned my back on my people. I had turned my back on my Jewish identity, my Jewish people. However, I'm actually closer to traditional Judaism now as a Muslim than I ever was as a secular liberal Jew.
Okay, so Shelley is saying, how fitting to interview a man that enjoys certain status when converting and not woman. Okay, yeah, well, that, and also, hold on, let's see, this guy is what, listen to him, what he's saying, what he's enjoying, another thing that he's enjoying.
Has corrupted Judaism.
When I became Muslim, I was told by somebody that I had turned my back on my people. I had turned my back on my Jewish identity, my Jewish people. However, I'm actually closer to traditional Judaism now as a Muslim than I ever was as a secular liberal Jew.
Okay, here's an interesting thing. I don't know what this guy, where this guy is, but let's say, for example, he's in Israel, right? He lives in a country. What happens to you in Israel if you are a Jew or an atheist, and you convert to Islam? What do they do to you? Other than some people coming on and telling you, like, oh, you're betraying your people and stuff. But what happens? Do you get arrested? Does the Israeli government come and maybe, I don't know, execute you? I'm Iranian, so that's the first thing that comes to my mind when somebody changes their religion, right? Do they torture you? No, they don't. They don't. Do you have that in Israel, guys? When you leave Judaism for Islam, do they torture you in Israel? No. Can you confirm? Some people in the live chat. Is that the law? Do they at least fine you? Do they fine you? Do they send you like a fine? Is that? Yeah. Or like somebody saying, yeah. No. Okay. Does the government get involved at all? Does the government get involved if you leave Judaism and become a Muslim? Oh, you tell me they respect your right to become a Muslim? Is that so? They let you be a Muslim because that's your right? Under Israel, you have the right to leave Judaism and become a Muslim? Is that how it works? Oh, okay. So you live in a country that respects your right to leave Judaism and become a Muslim. I wonder. In Muslim countries, you know, around that region, what happens to you if you decide to leave Islam and become a Jew? Does anybody know? Does anybody have that information? I think they will also respect your right, just like Israel, a secular nation who respects your right to leave Judaism and become a Muslim. I'm assuming that all these other Muslim countries, they also leave you alone. And like, oh, of course, it's okay. It's completely within your rights to leave Islam and become a Jew. Like, they also let you do that, right? Right? Of course. I mean, they're better than Israel, right? Israel is an apartheid state. So, and they're not apartheid. They're not like, they're Muslim. Muslim, good. Like, this guy is saying, this journalist is telling us that Islam is great. So I'm assuming in these Islamic countries, you could also leave Islam for Judaism, huh? Well, in Gaza, I heard like people have been leaving Islam for Judaism in Gaza, and Hamas is like, oh, of course, we respect your rights. You could choose to leave Islam as, you know, of course, be Jew. We have ex-Muslim Jews in Gaza and Hamas, and also the Palestinians, you know, not just in Gaza, in the West Bank, they're completely free. Nobody bothers these people, right? Like, is that the case? Is that how it works? Unbelievable.
His testimony is echoed by Jewish journalist Mahdi Majid, who converted to Islam and slammed Israel despite having held close friendships with high-ranking Israeli officials.
Oh, look at this. Oh, left Islam, left Judaism, so Jewish journalist converts to Islam. Okay, harshly criticizes Israel. You think like you're attacking Israel. To me, this seems like you're defending Israel. Look at people that are high up, people with high connections. They are journalists in Israel, get to criticize Israel. Are you not promoting how free the media is, how free the press is in Israel? You get to be a Jew who converts to Islam and also criticize Israel? I don't understand. This is a celebration of Israel. This is a celebration of the freedoms and rights that you have in Israel. The freedoms and rights that you do not enjoy in Islamic countries. Again, also anecdotal, not a trend here. This does not fit the title that you had picked, CJ Watermelon. Again, where lemon? Lemon, where lemon? Okay, I don't know if it's a lemon or a watermelon. Okay, I don't know, guys. I have a hard time pronouncing this guy's name. But again, the title of his video is Israeli Jews Converting to Islam in Record Numbers Since October 7th. It's not just the record numbers that we have to show us, the mass trend that he has to show us, but the since October 7th part. Because everything he has shown us so far is before October 7th.
He said, and I quote, "I was not a Muslim, but now I believe in Islam, thanks to God who guided me to find the truth after much research," end quote.
How is this surprising? Show me a single country with the decent-sized population, that you cannot find people converting to Islam in it. This is, you're going and hunting for something that is going to obviously be there. You could find any example. I'm pretty sure you could find Muslims who are going for Buddhism or atheism in Israel as well. What does that tell you? Does that show a massive trend? Again, even if there is a massive trend, this is not what shows it.
Find the truth after much research, end quote. Jewish converts to Islam, like him, are now causing Israel real headaches. So much so that a Jewish supremacist organization called Lahava was established to lure Muslim reverts back to Judaism. This group has been charged with terrorism, murder, and assassination. Its leader.
So much so that the far-right racist, religious, you know, ethnic group, that is a fascist group, is attacking people who are leaving Judaism. Oh, so you mean the entirety of Israel? Like, oh, what? Guess what? Israel has fascistic far-right groups, which I am now going to generalize the entirety of the Israeli views accordingly based on this far-right group, right? I don't understand. Do you know if we want to apply your standards of judging the entirety of Israel, if we want to apply that to Islamic countries, how worse the situation is getting? Like, when you go and look at the behavior of far-right groups and say, like, oh my God, this is getting so bad that Israel is doing this. And then you find the example of a far-right group in Israel and try to spread, act like this is the entirety of Israel. Do you understand that in Islamic countries, the behavior that you're finding from specific far-right groups in Israel, that behavior you could find in governments of Islamic countries? Do you understand that? Do you expect Israel to not have far-right groups? Which country doesn't have far-right fascistic groups? Why do you have such a high standard for Israel? Expect such a high standard for... So Israel is entirely far-right as long as they have far-right groups within them. Do you apply that standard? Do you know based on the standard, Germany is entirely far-right, Sweden is entirely far-right fascistic, France is entirely far-right fascistic, United States is entirely far-right fascistic, New Zealand, Australia, Canada. Do you know in Canada we have far-right fascistic groups? Are you going to say Canada is a far-right fascistic apartheid group because we have far-right groups within Canada? Why are you judging Israel by a different standard than you judge other countries by? Hold on. Let me see. We have a super chat. Gaijin American with a $2 super chat saying, watermelon is used on TikTok to support Palestine. Oh, yeah. So now it's more fitting that I'm calling this guy watermelon. Again, I'm not making fun of him. It's just hard. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, and I've never seemed to be able to learn. And now that you mentioned that, it's fitting to call him watermelon.
Is Bensi Gobstein.
Medina Yehudit.
Yeah, okay, so let's see what this far-right fascistic person has to say and judge the entirety of the country of Israel accordingly because of it. So he's this guy saying, we came here to establish a Jewish state. And if they do something that isn't right, we have every right to stand and rail against it. Okay? We have every right to stand and rail against it.
When you can...
Let me actually see if I have something. This Lihava is an Israeli far-right organization opposing interfaith marriages between Jews and non-Jews and advocating against assimilation. They have conducted campaigns and protests against such marriages and encouraged public shaming of Jews who rent or sell property to Arabs. Yeah, sounds like a far-right fascistic group. Lihava has also opposed the presence of Christians and LGBT individuals in Israel. See? Yeah, okay, sure. Let's find a group that is against LGBT, which is something that Israel completely recognizes and has the greatest gay pride parade in the entirety Middle East. Actually, the only one in the Middle East now. So don't recognize Israel by the fact that it's a secular liberal state that has LGBT rights and has LGBT Pride Month. Look at Israel as this group that is anti-LGBT and anti-Christian as well, and try to use them as a way to judge Israel. Okay, sounds good. So staging protests and making inflammatory statements, they've been involved in violent acts like arson of Jewish Arab schools and face criticism for promoting hate speech and incitement to violence. But, okay, let me see. There was another thing that I saw here. That's the next article. So, yeah, sounds like a really horrible group that stands against the values of Israel. this group that you're highlighting stands against the values of Israel. So again, thank you so much for showing us why we have to celebrate Israel, because Israel's values and laws are against what this person celebrates. This guy does not represent Israel. If you want to look at what Israel represents, look at all the high number of people that showed up to protest views of this guy. Basically, the government that tries to represent the views of this guy sparked the greatest mass protests in the Middle East ever. Those are those not the citizens of Israel? Do not. The last time I checked, they were waving around Israeli flags. They were standing against people with this view. All right, let's continue.
Consider what's happening in Gaza today. It's with great irony that Lahava came to prominence in 2014, the year Israel carried out a 53-day invasion and bombardment of the Palestinian territory, a bloody siege that claimed the lives of more than 2,500 Palestinians and left much of the territory in total ruins.
In response to an attack, which you're not going to completely not going to mention.
It was in the midst of this violence that a Jewish woman dared to marry a Palestinian Muslim man, sparking nationwide outrage in the state of Israel.
Again, look at this, posted in Jerusalem Post, you know, celebrating Israeli's free press and media.
The wedding of Mahmoud Mansour and Moral Malka had all the usual Middle Eastern trappings. Plus something the couple hadn't originally bargained on.
Oh, I have to read subtitles. God.
Okay. Plus something the couple hadn't originally bargained on.
Okay, so it was meant to be a private wedding, but it has created a national storm for a week now. Because she is a Jew and he is an Arab. So there are those who oppose this wedding. Hundreds from the extreme right have been here for hours. Oh, is it Israel that is stopping this wedding? Is it Israel in general that is stopping this wedding? Oh, you're saying the extreme right? Oh, okay, so not Israel, not the entirety of Israel is against this, okay? So again, well, how dishonest do you have to be as a journalist to go find the behavior of far-right people within a country and try to act like this represents the entirety of the country? Objecting to this wedding. Okay, so let me read this part of this article. So I went and looked at this article. So look, the article is from Jerusalem Post, reports on demonstrations at the wedding of an Arab man, Mahmoud Mansour, and Morel Malka, a Jewish-born woman who converted to Islam. Here's an interesting part. Protests were held by Lihava, which is the same group that we mentioned, the far-right one, and an anti-intermarriage Jewish group, but were kept at a distance by police as ordered by their Rishon Lezion Magistrates Court. So, which one represents Israel, guys? Look, the police is there. This is the police. I didn't even notice that, right? Look, the far right people showed up to stop this wedding, this interfaith wedding between an Arab and a Jew, and the police showed up to defend the marriage against the far-right fascists who were there. So this idiot journalist is trying to represent how bad Israel is, and between what the police represents and what the far-right group there represents, he decided to act like that far-right group represents Israel. Wouldn't it be a more honest interpretation of what Israel represents and what the values of Israel's are based on the action of the police here and not that far-right group? The state of Israel, the Israeli court sent the police there to protect this interfaith marriage against the far-right group there that were trying there to stop it. Which one of these groups represents Israel better? The police that was sent by the court and the state, or the far-right group that was there to stop the wedding? How dishonest do you have to be? Like, am I missing something here, guys? Am I missing something here? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, let me see. Noah with the 30 shekels super chat. Thank you so much, Noah, saying, I grew up as a religious Jew. My brother is married to a Christian woman, and I live with my boyfriend without marriage, and I don't eat kosher. Our family still loves us, and we still have full rights. There you go. There you go. When their rights and freedoms and the laws represents what the country is for. Okay, not a specific far right group in that country. Because again, if you are using that form of standard, that form of judging a country, every country on the planet, almost every country on the planet, will become a far right government country. Because most countries in the world, most decent sized countries in the world with the high enough population, have a far right group within them. I don't understand, at least a couple of far right groups within them. I don't understand why. Again, it seems to me that Israel is being judged by different standards than other countries. Just seems like it.
The co-founder of La Harvest says that while the group doesn't know the exact number of...
Oh, great. Sputnik. That's a very reliable source of information, by the way, you're putting on the screen there. Okay? Sputnik is a Russian-owned... You know, it's a state media. It's Russian-owned media. So I don't know if I could use that as a verifiable, as a good source of information. Again, I'm not saying what they're saying is wrong, but again, I'm not going to rely on that source.
While the group doesn't know the exact number of conversions taking place in Israel, she says that the number is on the steady rise and therefore causing great concern among Israeli leaders.
The other way is also on the rise, okay? With more media, with more social media, with more exchange of ideas, there's going to be people coming in and out from every direction. Every direction. Again, what changes demographics mostly are birth rates and immigration. Conversions have a very minimal effect.
Her fears were compounded by testimony.
Yeah, people are like Sputnik. People notice that as well. Yeah, Sputnik, state media, Sputnik, and people are laughing at the fact that he's using that as a source. Actually, the second source here is actually even more laughable. Yasser Ghadi said something, so we know it must be true if Yasser Ghadi is saying. What a very reliable source of information. Oh my God. When Yasser Ghadi is your source, you know you're in big trouble.
Her fears were compounded by testimony from popular Islamic scholar Yasser Ghadi, who says that the number of Jewish converts...
Oh, popular Islamic scholar. That makes it a very reliable source of information. Okay? So, amazing. This guy is a journalist. Okay?
Who says that the number of Jewish converts to Islam is growing under the radar in Israel because new converts fear being targeted by La Hava.
Now, when I was in Aqsa, I met a brother there who knew me from online, and he said, look, I need to introduce you to a group, but you cannot take any pictures. You have to be on the low, don't come with anybody, just yourself in Masjid al-Aqsa. And I said, who are these? He said, we are giving da'wah to some of the Yahud, but we're doing it not publicly. Because if you do it publicly, there's going to be a huge trouble.
What huge trouble? Okay. Social shaming, criticism, maybe. Backlash from legal pressure? No. Do you know how many people in Islamic countries, do you know how many underground communities in Islamic countries are there? People leaving Islam? Why are you so one-sided? Are you going to mention the heavy growth of ex-Muslims in Saudi Arabia, in Iran, in Bangladesh, in Pakistan, and the threat they face? Are you ever going to mention that? Do you understand? Are you going to criticize the threat that they face? Because in Israel, if you leave Judaism for Islam, what you need to fear is like people not liking you. Okay? People like, oh, bad. What you have to fear in Islamic countries is death. Is death. Death, you have to fear, and people are still, ex-Muslim movements are growing in Islamic countries that we know, that we have statistics for. That is a much larger movement, even though they face death.
So I said, there are actually converts here in this land?
How are you surprised? How are you surprised? There are millions of people. Do you know, even if you have like thousands of people converting to Islam, that's nothing? How are you surprised that that's the thing? I'm not even a Muslim. And if, even if you didn't tell me, I would have been like, yeah, of course there is. Oh, Jews are converting to Islam? Yeah, among millions of people, of course there are going to be Jews converting to Islam. There's 9 million people there. Everything is happening. Like, how are you surprised? Like, oh my God, people are converting to Islam. Even here, you know why? Why are you so shocked? Because you're so anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli. You don't understand that this is, that's a free country. You're like, oh, this country is so disgusting and vile that I can't believe something based on your standard good is happening there. Your hatred of Israel made you blind. I wouldn't have been surprised if people are, or there's some people, of course there's some people converting to Islam in Israel. How could there not that be? How could there not be? There's 9 million people there. Oh my God.
And he told me, this brother, we estimate at least 1,000 people have converted. We know around
1,000 people. That, you think that's a big number? CJ, you shouldn't have shown us this. You think there's a major threat in demographics to Israel because there's 1,000 conversion? Do you know how small of a number that is when it comes to demographics? If, even if you want to say there's a rising Muslim population in Israel, don't act like it's because of conversions in hundreds or 1,000. That's not going to change anything. Even if there's a rising demographics of Muslims in Israel, it's because of higher birth rates compared to secular Jews, not because of conversions. These numbers are nothing. These are rookie numbers. What are you talking about? This is not going to change anything. I bet you there's, I would guess there are more than 1,000, way more than thousands of Muslims in Israel that are completely leaving religion. I would guess that that number would be much higher. Oh my God, 1,000. Wow, what a big number in the country of 9 million people. Wow, changing demographics. Okay.
300-400. And from those 300-400, we know that there are others. The majority of them are not saying anything to anybody. They come and learn what they need to and then go back to their daily lives.
This is why Lahava is now carrying out violent foot patrols to threaten.
And they don't even have any stats. Like, we're just estimating. I saw 200, 300 people converting, and I think it's 1,000. Okay. So even with that, you don't have any stats. Oh my God.
Foot patrols to threaten and intimidate Jews who have entered relationships with Palestinians.
This group, Lava.
Yeah, okay. At least come up with a couple of multiple far-right group. This is the third time you're mentioning a group of people that are stopping interfaith marriages, and it's the same group. You're making it seem like there's only one far-right group in Israel that is doing this. So I would assume you would have like 5 or 6 examples of different far-right groups. The fact that you're mentioning this same group that for the third time is making me more hopeful than I was before this. Like, is there only one group? One, you guys only have one far-right group that is this fascistic? So you're doing relatively good compared to other liberal countries if it's just one group.
The dangerous time is when...
I mean, maybe do a better job. Go find the second one at least so that we think that there's a lot more.
The dangerous time is when small groups are walking around and want to find Arab people to attack them.
Islam's...
Yeah, and the police is against them. And the law, the courts, the police, and the law of Israel is against them. Are you going to mention that? Are you going to mention that, CJ Watermelon?
Growing popularity among Jewish Israelis also explains why Israel has carried out multiple violent raids on Islam's third holiest site during the past year. These raids...
Oh, it has nothing to do with, like, terrorist activity there. It's like people going there and causing trouble and, like, throwing fire, you know... fireworks and like doing, yeah, they just were like, hey, what should we do this weekend? Let's just go attack this Islamic center, you know, just attack, just go there. By the way, guys, I have my videos of my trip to Israel and visiting mosques in Tel Aviv. Let me know if you want me to do a stream showing that to you guys, right? because I want to show you what I did in Tel Aviv. I went and visited the mosque in Tel Aviv, and you know, it was they were pretty good. Like, they were protected, they were safe. Israel was, guys, in Tel Aviv, I saw something that I don't even support. If I think in Tel Aviv, I saw Sharia courts funded by taxpayer money. This is something that I think is not good, because it's not secular for taxpayer money in Tel Aviv to be. So in Tel Aviv, there are courts, family courts, Sharia courts that Israel pays for, the government of Israel pays for Muslims to take their family matters to. Again, I don't like that, because I don't think taxpayer money should be spent on religious courts. But it's just weird that people think Israel is anti-Islamic and anti-Arab when they have government-funded courts specifically for Muslims' family matters. I should show you my videos for my trip to Israel. Let me know in the comment section after this video is over that if you would like me to do a stream on that.
It's meant not only to intimidate.
Yeah, again, Sharia courts are not good for women. I'm not supporting that. It was just weird to know that Israel has that when people think Israel is so anti-Muslim.
Palestinian worshippers, but also send a direct message to potential Muslim converts that they will face the full fury of the Jewish state if they renounce Judaism and or Zionism.
Oh, guys, in those videos, I have a section when I wanted to go to the Dome of the Rock, and a blonde Israeli soldier made me recite the Quran to let me in. I have a video of that. I've never thought it once in my life that I would have a day. I have a video of that. Let me know if you want me to show you that to you guys. That an Israeli soldier is going to make me recite the Quran to let me go visit the Dome of the Rock. That is amazing. I should show that to you guys. I should show that. I should do a video.
Face the full fury of the Jewish state if they renounce Judaism and or Zionism. The destruction of 80% of Gaza's mosque is also meant to send a similar warning. But it's here that Israel is fighting a losing battle, because even the most ardent Zionists are discovering how Zionism contradicts the teachings of Judaism and how Islam brings its followers closer to God.
Since I went to Jewish school, I was also actually a staunch Zionist. I was super, super pro-Israel. And yeah, I held really closely to my religion and to, I guess, what I thought was my nationality being Israel.
It is your nationality. That's why you get to convert to Islam. That's why you've been given the right to convert to Islam. You should be grateful. Why would you like to act like this is not your nationality? Like, oh, I thought it was my nationality. Because Israeli is your nationality, you have the right to convert to Islam. You should celebrate your Israeli nationality that protects your right to do so. If you had other nationality, you wouldn't be able to change religions like that. This easily. Oh my God. Oh God. This. I don't know why these people don't understand how grateful they have to be. I should find this video. I should review this video of this woman, this Israeli woman who converted to Islam. Let me know if you want me to do the review of the of this video, because this video is out there and I could see what her views are. Let me actually go back and see what she's saying here, because I'm sure CJ is just picking the best parts that he likes out of this. But I think this would be worth to do an entire stream.
Super, super pro-Israel.
I was super, super pro-Israel. Well, now as a Muslim, you need to be even more pro-Israel, given how easy it was for you to change religions and the rights and freedoms that you enjoy as a Muslim in Israel that you would not enjoy in Islamic or Arab countries.
And yeah, I held really closely to my religion and to, I guess, what I thought was my nationality.
What I thought was my nationality. So what is, you're not Israeli anymore? Are you going to give up your passport and your citizenship? Do you have citizenship of other countries? Are you going to now become stateless if you give up your citizenship of Israel? Let me finish this.
Being
word.
Israeli. But at some point I realized that actually accepting Islam and being Muslim and practicing with Islam would actually make me a better Jew. And I wasn't separating myself from Judaism. It was the same God.
No, I'm not separating myself from Judaism, but I'm separating myself from being Israeli, okay? Among those three things, Okay, the one that you need to be the most grateful for, because I think saying Judaism or Jew, either religion or ethnicity, four, let's say four things here, okay? Three of these things are worthless. One of these things are very valuable, and she's being ungrateful to the most valuable one, right? So being Jew as a religion, I think it's worthless, okay? It doesn't, being a Jewish, religiously being Jewish doesn't do you any good, okay? Being Muslim is worthless. It doesn't do you any good. There's not much value in being Muslim, okay? Zero value, negative value, actually. Being ethnically a Jew, zero value. It doesn't matter if you're ethnically whatever, okay? If you're ethnically Persian, Kurdish, Jewish, Caucasian, Black, I don't care, okay? Indonesian, Malay, it's worthless. It has no value, okay? Among the fourth one, the only valuable thing among these identities is being Israeli. It has, being Israeli, an Israeli citizen, it has utility. It gives you rights. It gives you protection. It gives you freedom. All right. That is valuable. You have that. In fact, it's because of that last one that you're being so ungrateful. You get to have those other three things and nobody can question you because of it. Nobody could attack you because of it. You get protected if somebody wants to come after you because of those other three things. So you're like, oh, I'm a better Jew because I'm a Muslim. I'm this and that. Oh, I thought my nationality was Israeli. Well, yeah, you're throwing away. You're dismissing the most important part. Being Israeli is the most important part. Again, this is why liberalism, by the way, nation state and nationality brought to you by liberalism. So being a Muslim, being a Jew, either ethnically or religiously, these are ancient backward values and identities. You know, being an Israeli is a modern identity brought to you by liberalism, the concept of a nation state, the concept of having a nationality, and it has utility. It has what made it's what made the world a much more peaceful and stable place. You're welcome. Brought to you not by God, not by revelation, not by, you know, ancient concepts of, you know, tribal, you know, ethnicity, brought to you by, invented by modern liberal humans with a lot of utility. You're welcome.
Same God.
Her changing attitudes towards Zionism in Israel are echoed by Orthodox Jewish rabbis.
Zionism is based.
Oh yeah, anti-Semitic Jews. Great job. This is what you want. By the way, I like these people. You know why? Because these people are constantly telling everybody that Zionism is against the Jewish religion. Well, thank you so much for your service. I keep trying to tell people how secular Zionism is and how amazing Zionism is. And a lot of people tell me, like, Armin, you're an atheist. How are you defending Zionism? Why are you saying you're a Zionist when you are an atheist? You are supporting a religious concept. I'm like, no, you freaking moron. Zionism is just Israeli nationalism. It could be civic nationalism, right? It's a form of, you know, there are different versions of it, but one version of it is civic nationalism, which is completely in line with liberalism. And the founders of Zionism were secular. And you know who were against them? You know when Zionism started, who was against them? Religious Jews. And I'm glad that we have other religious Jews coming out and saying that Zionism is against religion. Well, as an atheist, I celebrate that. Keep saying that. Go keep saying that. I like things that are against religion.
Basically built up on mistrusting God.
Oh, yeah. Look at this. Zionism is basically built upon a mistrusting God. He's right. I agree with him. Because these religious morons were like, God will save us. Zionists were like, you know what? Fuck God. You know who will save us? We will save us. Humans will save humans. We cannot wait for God. We cannot trust God. Humans help other humans. We have to protect Jews because God will not protect Jews. God is not going to protect Jews. Jews can protect Jews. That's the whole point of Zionism. Taking the trust away from God and putting the trust in other people. You're right. Zionism is built upon mistrusting God. That's why it's awesome.
Mistrusting God, don't believe in God, don't trust God. From yes, the other yes. side, Judaism is built up on trusting in God. The
state, yeah, that's why it sucks.
State of Israel is a rebellion against God.
Amazing. This is the most pro-Israeli thing I've ever heard anyone ever say. You're making me love Israel even more. The state of Israel is in rebellion against God. Well, thank you, Israel. Thank you so much for your service. How can we join? How can we sign up?
And they will not succeed. They will come to an end. A person who can justify genocide, a person who can commit genocide.
Israel is a state that was founded to stand against genocide, you moron.
I can't count him as a Jew.
This academic research paper says that more and more Jews are converting to Islam for a variety of reasons. And while the study focused on Yemeni Jews living in Israel, it found that they perceive a weakening of Jewish institutions and the growing strength of Islam around the world.
Okay, guys, we finally got an academic article. I want everybody here to be extremely honest, very honest with me. Based on what he said about that academic paper, what did you understand this academic paper to be about? Let's listen to it again. And let's assume that he's being fair here. Let's just assume. I know it's hard to do, but let's assume that he's being fair here. I want you to listen to him, this journalist. And based on what he said, this academic article is saying, I want you to tell me what you think this paper is about. So let's listen to this again.
I can't count him as a Jew.
This academic research paper says that more and more Jews are converting to Islam for a variety of reasons. And while the study focused on Yemeni Jews living in Israel, it found that they perceive a weakening of Jewish institutions and the growing strength of Islam around the world.
So don't you, based on what he just said, isn't your understanding that Yemeni Jews in Israel are converting to Islam? Is that not your understanding? So there's a form of deceptive reporting that you selectively say the lines that technically are true, but you say them in a way that your audience will get an interpretation that does not really reflect reality. Be honest with me. Based on what he said, isn't your understanding of what this article is showing is that the idea that Jews in Israel, specifically Yemeni Jews in Israel, are converting to Islam? Wouldn't that be your takeaway of what he's saying this article is representing? Isn't that? Yeah, okay. So David is saying that is my understanding. Okay. So again, I'm trying to be fair here because I wanted to check with you guys, because when I first heard it, I thought, okay, this paper is saying that. So I went and checked. But let me see. Let's hear it again.
Person who can.
Yep. Shut up. We already.
This academic research paper says that more and more Jews are converting to Islam for a variety of reasons. And while the study focused on Yemeni Jews living in Israel, it found that they perceive a weakening of Jewish.
So it's that more and more Jews are converting on Islam. And he said this paper was focusing on Yemeni Jews in Israel. Yemeni Jews in Israel. Again, a pretty basic understanding of what's happening here is Yemeni Jews in Israel are converting to Islam, right? So again, maybe I missed something here, okay? English is not my first language. English is his first language. English is not my first language. He's a journalist, says he's a journalist. I am not a journalist, okay? So both when it comes to language skills and research skills, this guy should be able to do better than I am, right? And he also should be able to present information in the content that he's creating better than I am, right? Again, I'm talking to people with English as their native language, and they're saying that they also have the understanding that what he's saying, what CJ is saying, is that this article is showing that Jews in Yemen are converting to Islam, right? So let me bring the article. Okay. Let's see. Let's look at the first line. So the first line says, this is the abstract. Okay, so I was like, oh, this is behind the paywall. I'm not going to be able to see the conclusion and stuff. But the abstract is already there, so I could just read the abstract, okay? But I didn't even have to read the entire abstract, okay? I just had to read the first line. Let me actually zoom in so you guys could read as well. Okay. Maybe, guys, if I'm missing something here, let me know, because I might be wrong here, okay? The abstract says, the article discusses the phenomenon of Jewish conversion to Islam in Yemen in the 19th and 20th centuries, mainly in the tribal rural areas where the majority of the Jews lived. All right. So again, the part that is saying it focuses on Yemeni Jews in Israel, we'll get there, right? This phenomenon is explained against the background of political, social, and economic developments. The intervention in Yemen of outside forces, the penetration of the world economy, and the weakening of Jewish institutions, religious conversion is presented as a familiar and tempting phenomenon in Jewish life. Social considerations are put forward as the main reasons of Islamization, whereas the role of religious conviction is seen as insignificant. The article also deals with the symbolic meanings of the conversion ceremony and with its practical implications in the convert's community of origin and his or her new community. This article is based on oral history, on personal interviews with Yemeni Jews now living in Israel, and on written sources such as letters, memoirs, itinerary books, and legal writings on issues resulting from conversion, right? So it is talking to Yemeni Jews living in Israel, but it's trying to figure out Yemeni Jews who converted to Islam back in the 19th and 20th century in Yemen. And it also is talking about social pressures and coercion and internet and other forces leading to their conversion, and not conviction. So it's social pressures and economic and political factors were the main reason for conversion, not personal religious beliefs. You didn't even need to go. Guys, did I miss something here? Yeah, it's just a history research paper. Did I miss something here? Is this not dishonest reporting? Wouldn't, based on what he said, you would think like, oh, this is a research paper that shows Jews in Israel are converting to Islam. This is a history paper back in the 19th and 20th century about Jews in Yemen converting to Islam, and not because they chose Islam. It's because of social pressure, social and economic pressure. They weren't even convinced about Islam. And again, this was all in the abstract. You didn't even have to go study the research. It was in the first line. Like, you didn't even have to go that deep. The first line of the abstract tells you that this is about 19th and 20th centuries Jews in Yemen. Holy crap. Is this not deceptive? Did he misunderstand it? Or is he lying to you? Again, my first mother language is not English. His is. She should have been able to understand what it, am I misunderstanding this? Does he not know how to do proper research? He has, like, you know how many subscribers he has? You know how many people watch this? This video was watched by 282,000 people. 23,000 people like this. It has 2,800 comments. This channel, he introduces himself as a journalist. He has 250,000 subscribers. Me, who is not a researcher, I'm not a journalist, English is not my first language, with a much smaller audience than him, It took me 2 minutes to figure this out, to check this, and realize that he's either an idiot or lying. Unbelievable. I don't understand. How is it so easy to spread lies? It's so difficult to clean it up, but it's so easy to spread it. Guys, like this stream if you like what I'm doing here, because there's so much lies that people are just easily believing. I'm trying to fight this nonsense. Help me out here. Just like the stream. It doesn't take that much effort to like the stream. Share these videos. Subscribe to this channel. Oh, we got a super chat. And also maybe super chats. That helps as well. Queen Nick is saying, go Lord Armin, give him hell, LOL. Love it when you lose your shit. I'm sure lots of you are screaming at the screen too. more taqiyya again from them. Again, yeah, this is not an Islamic taqiyya. Again, proof that taqiyya is not just like deception is not just from Muslim. You can see, like, CJ is not a Muslim. Again, not all Muslim. By the way, guys, again, I want to make sure that we are not generalizing Muslims. When I say taqiyya, we're talking about specific type of Muslims. I don't want us this channel to be something that generalizes, makes mass judgments about all Muslims. There are many, many good Muslims. Again, one reason why we love Israel is because it's a country that is secular. Secular means that it supports the rights of Muslims to practice their Islam as long as they're not harming anyone else, right? Again, I hate Islam, but at the same time, I want us as liberals and secularists and free speech activists, we want to protect and defend the rights of Muslims to just be Muslim, right? Anyways, let's continue.
Institutions and
oh yeah, and people are confirming not that contradicts anything that you said in the super chat. By the way, thank you so much for people who are confirming that they like the stream. I really appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. And also the super chats, really appreciate that. It really helps us continue what we're doing. Speaking of, we got another super chat saying, we don't like the stream. We love the stream. Ah, well, thank you, NBGSTV. Thank you so much. That's really heartwarming. Okay, let's continue this. We're over.
The growing strength of Islam around the world. But as for Israeli Jews of European descent, many are now discovering the lies they've been fed.
So this sign says Jews for a free Palestine. These people think, like a lot of these people who hold these signs, think that we who support Israel, we don't want that, okay? We do want a free Palestine, especially free from Hamas. We want a free Palestine from Hamas. We do want a Palestinian state, a lot of us, okay? A lot of us who support Israel, we want Israel to be a nation state, and we want Palestine to also be a nation state. I don't see a path towards a Palestinian nation state because there's nobody out there to negotiate with, because you guys are all, a lot of the people who run the politics of Palestine, both in Gaza and also in the West Bank, are genocidal. So I don't see a path to a two-state solution, but we want a two-state solution. We want Palestine to be a nation state. Okay, we are against the people who are stopping the path towards Palestine being a nation state, which includes the rulers in both Gaza and West Bank. God damn it.
About Islam and the Palestinians via the genocide in Gaza.
As I keep researching and learning about what's happening in Palestine right now, I can't stop crying.
Yeah, it's horrible. I hope you're condemning Hamas for what's happening in Palestine. It's horrible. I agree with you, lady. I hope you can join us in condemning Hamas for all the misery that is bringing on the Palestinian people, especially in Gaza, and all the worldwide support for Palestinians continuing to fight, giving them false hope for a false sense of victory, which is bringing them a lot more misery. I hope you are standing up against that so that maybe at some point Palestinian people could have peace and security.
This is a call-in to all Jews who support Palestine. When did you realize that the Zionist mythology of Israel was a lie?
The Zionist mythology of Israel is just, Zionism is just trying to get Israel be a nation state and remain a nation state. The same thing you want for Palestine, okay? We want for Israel. How hypocritical do you have to be to wish, I wish that Palestine could one day have a nation state, and I hope that Israel could continue maintaining its nation state. You know, I'm not a hypocrite. You seem to want a nation state. That's what Zionism is. Zionism is just understanding that Israel needs to remain a nation state. So why are you, what is Zionism other than that? So how come you want Palestinians to have a nation state, but you don't want Israel to have a nation state? You have double standards. I don't. I want them both to have a nation state. That's why I'm a Zionist.
And why do so many Jews support Israel despite it committing war crimes against Palestinians?
Okay, so Israel does not commit war crimes against Palestinians. And the reason why I support Israel is because it's one of the few countries in the region where when they find out that war crimes are being committed, they hold their soldiers responsible. Because, of course, in every war, there will be war crimes. But among all those countries in the region, the one country that has the legal structure to be more likely to hold the soldiers that are committing war crimes and accountable, Israel is the highest one, right? There's no war that you could find that there's not going to be a single act of war crime in it. Of course, there will be war crimes, right? The question is it systematic? Is it from top being ordered from the top down? Or are there just instances of war crime that if they find out, they're going to be held responsible? When it comes to Israel, they have much higher standards than any country in that region. So that's why I support Israel.
And the truth is, we're not fed accurate information.
Yeah, I agree with that. And right now, you're not.
If this doesn't give you reason to be...
Holy crap, we got a 50 euro super chat. Unbelievable. Thank you so much. It's by Tariq Koryak and saying, brim, brim. Brim, brim. Okay, well, thank you for the super chat. This is amazing. Wow. Guys, this is amazing. Unbelievable. Thank you, guys. This is why we get to continue doing these streams, because I'm spending so many hours with these streams. And it would not make sense unless we were getting all this support. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Hopeful and optimistic about the future of Palestine, then I'm not sure what will. Because there's no denying that the world is experiencing a transformational moment.
Yeah, sure. I know. We had done videos on this woman who seemed not to be understanding Islam at all.
One that's partly inspired by the shining light of Islam, a light now seen by Jews, who previously saw only darkness due to the pervasiveness of Zionist lies and propaganda. The world is changing. You can feel it. And this program will continue to fight until every Palestinian is free. Anyway, that's my time for today.
All right. If you want every Palestinian to be free, support Israel. Okay. Support a secular government in Israel. That would be the best thing for Israel. And it would be the best thing for Palestinian people. Guys, please make sure you like the stream. And again, I have good news. We still haven't been demonetized, which is amazing because I did say some dirty words today. But we still haven't been demonetized. We kept our monetization through. I think after the stream, we might get demonetized, but that's still very good. This was a good show. And we got a lot of support. And it would be even better if you guys just liked the stream. And if you want to, people who want to spend more time supporting the show without spending a single cent, you know, I know we got a lot of super chats. A lot of super chats, which was very good for the show. But there's also ways for you guys to support the show without spending a single cent, okay? Other than liking, after the show is over, leave a comment. The comments really help. I do spend time reading the comments. I don't read all the comments, but I read as much of them as I could. I'm being honest here. And also subscribe, hit the bell notification. And another great thing you could do is to go tell people to come to this channel and subscribe. I think we're doing really good work here. And if this channel grows, I think a lot of this nonsense will see a reaction. And we do need a reaction to a lot of this nonsense. So please help us. Go tell people to come and subscribe to this channel. Okay? Thank you very much. Tom Lek Show. Bye.